What up? Welcome to another episode of the Dealer Talk Podcast. This is your host, Herb Anderson. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is episode 4, season 9. I think I said season 10 a couple episodes ago, but it's actually season 9. I checked, folks, so now I know for sure. So episode 4, season 9, we're going to have a really good conversation. Very, very excited. Before we kick it off, quick shout out to our sponsor, 4Eyes. Folks, if you're not using 4Eyes, you're missing out. We are in what I call an alternative base market. What do I mean by that? Customers can't find what they're looking for, right? And so they go to your website hoping that you have the car that they want. But if you don't, that's where 4Eyes comes in with their core product, because they re-engage the customer with alternatives based on intelligent shopper behavior on your website. They get the customers back and they get them engaged on a different vehicle that they potentially might purchase. So everything connects seamlessly through your CRM. So you can see those interactions happening in real time. And it's just an amazing product. Plus, they have other things, right, that you can look at, like the coffee report, which is a report that I like to look at. Gives you a bunch of visitor traffic information. And they also have their newly launched UDP or Unified Data Platform, which I haven't used yet, but what I've heard and the demos that I've seen is pretty impressive stuff, right? So make sure to check out 4Eyes, go to the show notes and get your 60-day trial, folks. That's the other thing. If you go to the show notes, you get 60 days absolutely free. You don't have to worry about it. So if you don't like it, don't sign up. So anyways, so we have an amazing guest today. Miss Liz Calloway. How you doing, Liz?
Great, Herb. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm super excited. This is going to be a good conversation. We typically kick things off with an intro. So tell us about you.
So I am a product manager at Microsoft, and I think that sounds a lot less complicated than what I do day in, day out. but I get to build everything I want to do for the car shopping experience, and I have the best engineers in the world. And so it has been amazing. But before that, I worked at a marketplace, online marketplace, helped with their dealer program. And then way back in the day, I sold cars in Southern California, but based up here in Seattle now, hence the uniform. And I'm just big, big car nerd. So this is a lot of fun.
Right on, right on. You know, I'm very excited to talk to you because Microsoft is, you know, like what some of the stuff. Like, I'll talk to you specifically about Bing in particular, because I've seen a lot of their ads and, you know, some of the stuff that they're doing with that. And I feel like, you know, based on the data that I, you know, I'm in the, you know, like I cover like California and Utah, Vegas area. So a lot of the information that I see is to me, it seems like an area of opportunity for a lot of dealerships that they don't often take advantage of. So can you tell us a little bit more about, you know, kind of what you guys are doing?
Yeah, so just in general, I think the big value prop that Microsoft has is that Microsoft's everywhere, right? Between Windows, LinkedIn, Xbox, everything. It's a very like inherent, this is what we're using, but we're not seeking it out to go use it. A lot of what Microsoft in general is doing since our last major investment in OpenAI is using this ChatGPT and OpenAI technology to help power our current programs to make them just so much more user-friendly and make the whatever you're trying to do more efficient. So like you mentioned Bing, you could just have a natural language conversation with the Bing chat and finding what you're looking for. Like, you know, for example, yesterday I was like, hey, how do I cancel this one membership for that one, you know, subscription that you can never find the actual thing for. And it gave me not only the response, but the links, and we're really big on transparency. So you can actually see where it found everything. But I'm loving it for my day in, day out. And then we're actually using it with our auto shopping experience for both buying cars and owning cars. So you could just have basically like a little buddy helping you out that you don't need to do the searching for. We'll use that to do everything for you. So it's been a ton of fun.
Yes, it's very interesting because I foresee that being kind of like the future of car dealership websites to a certain degree. I think ChatGPT or some form of AI is going to integrate to your website. And when you go to a to a dealership's website, you can kind of have that AI search for the car that you're looking for based on, you know, they'll probably ask you certain questions or whatever, and then it'll just go and, hey, here, these are all the vehicles that match. They're at this price. You know, that this is a dealership, you know, something like that. Do you kind of see the same thing? Or?
So what we're doing is we launched our Autos Marketplace in the US and then in a couple dozen other countries in the last couple of years. We're really just finding every single car listing that was in the country that can, you know, that you're looking for. But we are already using AI to personalize your experience. So like you'll see something different than I would just because of how we interact within the Microsoft ecosystem, as we call it, between Edge and Bing and everything else. So we're already looking how we can really shorten that navigation, that shopping time, really remove all that frustration. What we're using our Autos Assistant, that co-pilot for, is that not only are you talking to it, but as you're searching, it will filter those results for you. Mm-hmm. And it's actively doing it as you're talking to it. And you can get as simple as, hey, I landed on this, let's see, what do I have? A 2021 Jeep Grand Cherokee. Great. You want to send your information over and then we can quickly send a CRM lead over to that dealer without the Microsoft user having to do more clicks and more of everything. So it's been really, really great just from the chat side, but I'm getting excited about everything else we can do beyond just natural language, whether it's computer vision and we can take a picture of any car on the street and it can automatically tell you what it is and pull up the research page for it, or, you know, building out your next Audi TT just on what you want. And we know what the OEM spec is and you can watch it with DALL-E just being built. There's a lot of different applications that we can use with it.
So do you foresee that being something integrated on the website? Like, do you think website providers are going to start integrating this, or do you think it'll just be in the browsing experience and it'll be part of your browser? And so, what do you think the evolution of that will be?
Well, right now we are just using it with our stuff. So within our experience, but last few conferences and it's been a busy quarter and everything like that, sure. and really previewing and launching it. The question comes, okay, how do I white label this on my website? How do I get this widget on my website? Because we can use that data that dealer's already spending so much time and money and effort in doing and really just make it so much easier. So we're looking into how we can really expand and let dealers and OEMs use this technology, because my team who's been doing this has been putting so much effort in. We're looking at, you know, what our users are actually asking, how long they stay on, how often they come back. We're doing all of this so that by the time we've done that investment and we hopefully can get it out to dealers, that it'll just be a really easy integrated product for them.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, that's very interesting. Maybe some sort of a plugin versus I'm sure the website providers will want to build their own to a certain degree or something.
Oh,
but
yeah.
If you had a plugin of some sort too, that would work as well. I mean, I just like the flexibility of the technology too, because I'm assuming it's not just type, you can do voice as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we can do voice with everything. The big thing with Microsoft, a lot of our users are desktop. They're not big mobile users. They really like doing it, whether it's at work or here or what have you. But yeah, it is really, really flexible. We have it within our mobile apps and it can just be voice chat and everything. So it's a lot easier, but we just launched it within our My Garage experience, which is our ownership experience. So you can say, hey, what oil does my car need? And, you know, what does synthetic mean? Or do I actually know that? And kind of remove the fear and the unknown of what you're doing with the cars, especially since people are using them for longer. Mm-hmm. So we're, you know, working with companies like RepairPal to get like an instant, you know, estimate for how much like the ding's going to cost you to get it fixed, and really put more of that trust and transparency by not only using this tool to have that conversation, but show the user like, hey, this is where we found it. Here's what we're doing. Let me show you how we kind of sped up this work for you, and make them feel more confident when they're doing anything about a car.
Well, the way I think about it, and it ties into what you're saying right now, the way I've thought about this since I saw, you know, like since ChatGPT came on the scene, like immediately thought like, wow, websites will be gone. Because here's how I foresee it. The shopper right now, they spend 16 plus hours doing research, right? That's a stat. So they spend this time doing research. That means they're going to pandemics, they're going to car dealerships' websites, and they're looking for specific things, whether it's trim, color, price, a combination of all those things, and then they end up on the car.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you can tell a system like, hey, these are my parameters, I'm looking for these types of vehicles at this price range, go do the research for me, and then it just returns that information to me. Now the research part is gone. And oftentimes, the digital selling occurs when they're in that research phase, because they go to all these different websites, and then the website, in my opinion, the website that convinces me that it's going to give me the best shopping experience, that's who that then has what I'm looking for, that's probably where I'm going to end up transacting at. But now you're going to tell, you know, this assistant, quote, whatever, in whatever form, this AI assistant, hey, this is what I'm looking for, and this assistant is just going to return the results based on what you said, and wherever that car is, that's kind of where it is. I mean, do you agree, disagree? Like, what do you think about that?
It does kind of, one, I think it oversimplifies or kind of removing it all. The biggest thing that I think is a little bit different, that we're not necessarily removing what we're doing with websites, it's the one who's going to be more comprehensive, who's going to have more information, who's going to have better pictures, videos, links to their social media, because the co-pilot can bring that in and display that video or that link, or the vehicle detail page on our marketplace can have all that there. Because we're using machine learning, which gets better and smarter the more that you feed it, the more comprehensive, the more just expansive website with whatever they need to know, whether it's about the vehicle, about financing options, about what service is available, or just the dealership in general, that's the one that's going to come up ahead of everyone. So the dealer who's good at keeping everything updated, what's going on the lot, do I have pictures, is it more than just the two stock, what are we doing to make sure that even if they're not using the tool itself, I'm using it to go figure out what they have, right? So if I'm not being able to find information about ABC Ford, it might not be the result that I show my user. It might be the one who actually took the time to make sure that their experience is good with or without AI.
Yeah. Well, you said something right now that I want to touch on, because you said machine learning. And I think those two terms are confused.
They are. Often.
So
yeah.
What would you say is your definition of AI versus machine learning? I'll tell you mine, right? So I want to learn. So if I'm wrong, like, you know, keep me honest. But
no, it's fine.
For me, when you talk about artificial intelligence, or the way, maybe not when you talk about it, but when vendors in particular come to dealerships and talk about artificial intelligence, it's not, to me, that's not really AI. It's learned, you know, behaviors. It's like you're in this box and you've trained the system to operate within this box, right? So yeah, that's what we're calling AI. But machine learning is, no, you start in this box, but you progressively get better and learn, and then you can go outside of the box, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah, really, really, really. So AI just in general is kind of your umbrella, right? So artificial intelligence is oversimplified, giving computer a human brain. Task that a human should be able to do, but let's train the computer to do it and program it that way. There are different segments of artificial intelligence, like machine learning, which could be that we're feeding it data, whether that is code, whether it is visual images or sounds or user behavior. We are using machine learning, like, okay, I see what Liz is doing when she clicks on this. How long does she stay on that? Those are pieces of data that we're feeding whatever artificial intelligent powered solution with machine learning. So it's kind of just the tool that you use, but there's also, you know, computer vision, natural language processing, lots of different segments of artificial intelligence, and it really just boils down to how you use it. So when all these vendors are going in and talking about how you're using AI or how they're using AI, for any dealer that's kind of looking to incorporate something like that, there's a lot of different things that they should be looking at, whether it's, okay, but how are you using it? What parts are you using? How is my data going to be secure? How much research have you done within the different aspects of buying and selling a car? Because this is we all know this is a very different industry than anything else, right? There's more than we could possibly imagine. And trying to have, say, just a plain old technology company come in and say, oh, here you go, I fixed it. There's so many more facets to automotive that you need to take into account.
For sure.
One of the biggest one being user friendliness. How easy is this tool for my staff to use? Like, for example, you know, everyone's using Google Analytics to look at all what they're doing, their campaigns and their websites, and it's great. It takes a lot to learn how to do that properly, right? One of the bits that we've done at Microsoft is one of my teammates at Microsoft Clarity, it's a supplement to Google Analytics, but it's much more visual. And because you can use natural language, you can just type in, hey, what did my Facebook campaign do in August? And you literally just type it in as if you and I are texting, and then let the actual tool go and do that work. So you're expanding who can use these tools within your dealership operations. You're making it more efficient, and you're not, you know, really gatekeeping something that's super important to how they actually run everything.
Yeah. So I like that you talked about, that you mentioned Google Analytics, because my thought with you know, quote unquote, artificial intelligence, the right version or the right definition of artificial intelligence on the marketing side, because that's what I specialize. I'm not going to talk about inventory management or anything like that. But on the marketing side, to me, the future is this agent, if you will, is going to be able to, one, organize all your vendors seamlessly. So you'll be able to go to the vendor portal with just saying, hey, take me here. Your rep information will be attached to it in some shape or form. Your costs will be connected to that so that you can look at an appropriate cost per impression, cost per view, cost per lead, cost per sale, those sorts of numbers. And you can look at it vendor by vendor, or you can look at it as a whole, collectively, within a store or a group. It should also connect it to the car. Like, that's one thing that CRMs have gotten wrong for many years now. It's like, okay, you have this information in the CRM, but you're not tying it to the specific vehicle. Why? You know, like, I want to know this particular car. Like, if I look in an aging report, right, and I see a car that's been there for 200 days, I want to be able to go look at the car and see how many leads has it had, how many appointments, what it, and how much marketing dollars have I spent on that specific car, right?
Yeah.
Oftentimes, when you dig deep, you find that these cars have had 4, 5, 6 appointments, and it's 200 days old, and the car is still there. Why? I mean, those are questions that I think the an artificial intelligence on the marketing side should be able to answer. You should be able to identify underperforming vehicles and then just, you know, run a bunch of different ads. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What's stopping us?
Even then, you know, think of using AI to analyze what's going on in your market. What new cars should you buy? What's actually popular based on what it is? Those are things that a human could do it and have been doing it. But having someone else do busy work, having machine do the busy work, go do what you're better at.
Right.
Go do it with actually talking to the customer, doing that walk around, things that you don't want the robot who brings your drinks at the sushi restaurant to do, right? You want to really use AI to just make your team more efficient and give you more time back to do the better things.
Sure. But to your point, like, you can do it. But that's the whole advantage, is that if you were to do it, good luck. You're going to spend 8 hours trying to put all that stuff together.
One of the things I talked about in the last couple of conferences was that you're allowed to not use AI. Believe me, trying to get a dealership, especially all the staff, to change into something or whatever you think it may be, whole undertaking.
Sure.
Regardless if you add it or not to the operations, dealers need to be aware how much their customers are being exposed to AI, whether they know it or not. So whether that is AI-powered financing options, is artificial intelligence going to be better matching a financial profile without, you know, an actual human there looking at, hey, okay, great, you may not have paid this off, but you're real good at your car loans. How good are the tools that you're using, and how good are the tools that your customers are being exposed to, so that you know kind of what you're up against? You know, what if you walked in, it's like, oh yeah, I can totally buy this. And you're like, you can't finance milk. Like, what are you, what are you talking about? No, the machine said I could do this. It's great. And so just knowing like these new obstacles and these new different areas that, like, you know, can show up, even think from the service side, predictive maintenance, like, I know exactly how you drive. I know how hard you brake. give your service advisor a tool where they can be like, call me up and be like, hey, Liz, you're going to need tires sooner than you thought because it's going a lot faster and we can use these tools to be better and more proactive with these things. But yeah, it's there's a lot out there. And I think that, you know, it's going to be a big undertaking for people to get it all. But just starting to learn what's being shown to customers is be a big first step.
Yeah, for sure. I like, you can't finance milk. You think to tie to that, you can't go and ask how much stores bought their milk for either. So
exactly.
That's funny. All right. So to kind of move things along, I wanted to talk to you. One of the things that I was excited to ask you again, and I kind of referenced it at the beginning of the show, is why do you think that we don't put, and I include myself in that category too, why do you think we don't put as much emphasis or at least take a closer look at the search engine, like the SEM side of like Bing, for instance?
Because, I mean, I live in a household with a teenager and a middle schooler, and Google is their verb. It just is. And that's totally fine. It just, there's a larger market share. It has never really been something that Microsoft had put a lot of effort in compared to Windows and 365 and everything else is a really great product. But now that we have this GPT capabilities, the last couple of years, all we have done has put so much effort into this. The Overlook is not necessarily, I know there's a lot of different dealerships, OEMs, everyone who do advertise with Microsoft advertising through Bing, but because we're doing so much more, we're using this tool that's kind of just inherent. So like I mentioned earlier, we have a lot of desktop users. We have a lot of people who use Windows, Edge, Bing at work, right? Mm-hmm. Like we're your lunchtime, 30 minutes, maybe Facebook's blocked, but we're not. And we can get you wherever you are. Underestimating our users who think they're Googling when they're actually using Bing, or now that we've made it so much easier to use, the amount of growth and the trajectory that we've seen. So when we made the announcement in January, you can ask any of my partners, like, I can tell you my users right now, but I'm going to wait until it kind of calms down. It's still up there. It's still growing. We have more net new users than we've ever had before, and we have different types of users. So getting to the Microsoft demographic, Bing is where you need to be.
Yeah, so let me clarify, because I said, you know, when I say overlooked is because it's part of our budgets and stuff for sure, but it's not a conversation, right? We always go and we talk about Google, right? But we're not looking at the Bing, even Yahoo, I'll throw in there. We're not looking at those as closely as we should. And I think that's, you know, when I think about differentiation, it's very hard to differentiate yourself where everybody's at, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's like the Viato effect. Like everybody has Viato. So what's the advantage then? If everybody has a tool that's telling you all the good stuff, then, you know, everybody has the same information. So, you know, but
yeah. I have the sales background, and I am the weird one that I will not sell you a product if I don't think it's the right fit for you. For what we're looking at with dealers, whether it's our dealer program with the marketplace or actually using Microsoft advertising through Bing, what are you trying to accomplish? Mm-hmm. Are you looking for our users? Our users are older. They have more money. They are stickier because they're doing their actual searching on the desktop. They're sitting there and losing all these tools, right? A lot easier to swipe away on your phone than actually do it here. They skew differently. So it might be, okay, who are you working with? Who your marketing team is working with? Do they have the information that compares, you know, Google audiences to a Microsoft audience? What does that overlap look like? Is it the right fit? It might not be. And that's okay. And I think that now that there is, you know, so much more about what we can do and the growth and the sheer number of users that are being exposed, whether it is from their search results or the side panel or their Edge flyout when they're just using our browser in general, we have all these tools available to them that we expose our clients to, and we expand their footprint because we can use everything in Microsoft. I don't need them specifically to be on my marketplace. I can get to them via Edge. I can get them via that Windows start bar at the bottom of your task. Like, anywhere they want to be, we can bring that dealer to that user.
What about Outlook?
Oh, yeah.
Same? You can do the same thing?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, where do you got to send an email, right?
Yeah.
You got to get it somewhere.
Right, right.
That's yeah.
So I think that there's something there that you know, it just is not talked enough about. And I also feel like there's like I said earlier, I think there's an opportunity to gain some market share if you were to focus on that and not just, oh, it's an afterthought. Oh, okay, we'll put $1,500 mm-hmm. towards this, but we actually said, hey, let's kind of build a strategy for this platform and kind of see what we get. Like, be intentional about it, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. A lot of our analytics tools, I use it on my own sites and everything as well, is while the volume of users are probably a bit lower than you would get with, you know, the Googles and the Facebooks and everything else that you're kind of looking at, ours are stickier. You know, they last longer. They're better quality, better matched lead. So I would rather have quality over quantity, but it For is sure. definitely growing. And I'm constantly asking, like, hey, we should do more marketing. We should tell more people that we're doing stuff. Like, yeah, it's fine. We're Microsoft. And then in, you know, 2 years since I've been there, we're at 500,000 daily active users without saying a word to anyone. And it's like, you were right. Okay. I guess we are doing something. That's the quiet audience that I think dealers and OEMs overlook. The smart ones, you know and called me already, but the everyone else, the majority of them was like, oh, Microsoft, what are you doing here? Are you here to buy a dealership? Are you, never assuming that we can actually use the tools that we have available to make it a better experience for the user and the dealer.
Sure. So let's talk about the setup too, because I want folks to really understand the differences, but as also the similarities. Like, sure. The big buzzwords right now are VLAs or, your listing ads and mm-hmm. Or VAs now, and your PMAX, right? So
yeah.
One is the listings because it has a photo. Photos are going to get from all the data that I've seen is they get better engagement than a search, a text ad mm-hmm. would, right? Which makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. If you're going to read something versus clicking on a photo, you're probably going to choose the photo. And then PMAX now on the Google side, you grab all these assets and then the system tells you where to, what channel is going to perform better in, and it just, rolls that content out for you.
Yeah.
Do you guys offer a similar setup? And if not, how is it different? And how can
we do?
Okay.
Yeah. So it's new and it's just been launched, but we do have our marketplace dealer subscription program, very, very similar, probably closer to VMAX than the actual VLAs. VLAs are closer to automotive inventory ads, mm-hmm. Which have been around for a long time. What we're doing with our dealer subscription program is it's just a set cost, they send in their feed, you can schedule it to go wherever it wants. Once our team gets all of that inventory data, we do everything with it. They don't need to touch it, they don't need to, we know what works best, wherever wow. it may be. Because we want to put the dealership first, because we know our user, our actual vehicle detail pages for these subscribing dealers, we start with a big storefront banner on the top. Who are you working with? Who are you going to actually go and talk to? Let me introduce this dealer to you. That first spot on your image carousel, if you have videos, you have your YouTube, you have your Facebook videos, Instagram, you can put that URL right there in your inventory feed that you send us, and we populate it for you. One of my interns did 360 spins on cars, assuming that we had the right, 8 pictures for it, which is just a big testament to the engineering skills on my team. And if we get all that, we automatically apply it to our subscribing dealers' vehicle detail pages. And as I mentioned before, because we are actually using AI to properly personalize your experience, we're putting the right car in front of the right user. Mm-hmm. Ideally, I would like the vehicle detail page to be almost the last thing that the user sees before they get in contact with the dealer. Because for me, that means they're more down funnel. They're more serious about this. We've given them the information. We have obviously the specs, the car, the CRM form, photos, and everything in between. But what's the history of that car? Where was it sold? Where the mileage looks at? We have all of this available to that user. And because we can give them to that so much there, it's stickier than if they just clicked on that shiny picture. They just, you know, F-150 is near me. I want to know, like, okay, well, which one was better for safety? Because I use my Auto's Assistant to speed up my research process, and these are the ones that popped up. These are the questions I want to be asking. So, yes, it is really traditional in our vehicle detail page, but a lot of what I wanted to put in there was to be more engaging and to really keep a better match customer with those eyeballs on that dealership, so that they really get to know what their experience is, and we're not taking away from the dealer and what they've done with their website and what they've done with their experience. We want to just amplify that for them and put it wherever that user may be.
So I want to talk to you more about the audience, because there's a question there that I want to make sure that we can expand on. But before that, you said something that really caught my ear, and it's kind of becoming a recurring theme this season. And that's the fact that, you know, I'm starting to notice that we're trying to inject a little bit of traditional format to the digital experience. And what I mean by that is, before, digital was all about connecting, you know, the car. Like, how can I get my car in 1,000 different places? And hopefully with a targeted audience, enough eyeballs are going to see the car. And then somebody, you know, I'm going to get a buyer, right? If I have the right car, it's priced right, I got the right images, those sorts of things. But now with all these initiatives like the PMAXs of the world and, you know, like the video pre-roll, OTT, even digital radio, it's kind of like we're injecting the traditional form where we can talk about the why buy. We can talk about the dealership. We can talk about the branding. And we can go beyond the inventory. Do you agree with that? I mean, is that
very much so? Yeah, that was the core of when I was building out what we want to do with this dealer program. Was you can get shiny anywhere. You can look at any website. Ooh, great! I mean, when I sold cars, if I wanted the deal and the guy down the street had it, guess what? We swapped it. Right? It's who you're buying from. Mm-hmm. So why wouldn't that be the start of what you're doing with this dealership, not the car? Yes, you're here for the car. Yes, you're going to do that. But ultimately, is that even the car that you normally buy when you actually get there? Like, I know that when I buy my cars, that's not the one I want when I actually walk onto the lot.
Right.
But understanding why I went to that dealership specifically, yeah. Last vehicle I bought for myself, they had exactly what I wanted. I already had my 0% financing through Santander. Like, going all, this was going to be the easiest, best lay down that you ever had. In, you know, there's three deals on the board on a Saturday. He needed my deal. And because of how he interacted with me, I took my business to the guy down the street and signed on the dotted line. And that salesperson didn't have to do a damn thing.
Yeah.
So shouldn't that initial biggest part of why you're actually at that dealership be, you know, how you're being introduced and, okay, who are you working with? What have they done for the community lately? What does their service, you know, kind of look like? What other vehicles do they have? What is the history of, you know, what they've got? Start there, and then we talk about the vehicle itself. So, yeah, I think we are trying to get down to more traditional in that you know who you're working with. Mm-hmm. We do more repeat business. Man, referrals were the best when I sold cars. Shouldn't we start doing that more for, you know, these people who are strapped now, there's fewer people on the floor than there ever have been. Let's make it a better experience for them.
Well, when you take the e-commerce approach, because that's what I call it, right? When you do all you, when you have your cars on all these endemics, when you have your cars on all these different, like on AIA ads and VLAs and all that stuff. I mean, that's great for the inventory, but let's face it, you don't have, it's not a unique piece of inventory, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, even a used car, and I know we talk about that in the business, but you can get kind of similar miles, kind of a similar trim level. Like, you know what I mean? I know every car is unique unless you have that one rarity that, you know, comes every once in a while.
Even worse with just the VLAs and the AIAs is that if everyone uses that same background vendor, then everyone has the same generic white grayish kind of background. Right. Yeah, there's nothing telling me who I'm working with right
exactly.
There.
So I think I like where things are going because the cool thing about digital is the trackability, right? The fact that you can see, like before you did TV and radio, you had a message. And if your branding message was average, how do you measure that? You know what I mean? Yeah. You can't.
The bigger thing with us is that because I'm working within not just a single vertical marketplace. So I'm not just Agurus, I'm not just Auto Trader, I'm not just Cars. I work with all Microsoft. So I have users who log in to check their email, to do all these other things. Imagine if you could actually, as a dealer, get someone who's purchasing your vehicle for from you via our marketplace, and then can go park that car that they just bought from you within their Microsoft garage, and you can serve them coupons, you can talk to them more. Hey, we know exactly when you purchased this vehicle. Let me push to my Microsoft owners. We're going full circle with this cycle, which is a very unique thing. So us starting with who the store is, which dealership you're actually working with, we want to lay that foundation for more. Like, can I schedule service through the garage? Can I find the right part? Click, click here. Oh, I have, you know, my 2022 Camry in the garage, but great. Here are other vehicles that other Camry owners considered, because we can do more than just, ooh, I had a great experience finding the car I wanted, which I have, and it's great. I want to see what else we can do, because I have a different fun problem to fix.
For sure. And then being able to have your message out there, your branding message out there in an omni-channel format where it's on all these different channels, it's easy to integrate now because of where the technology is. Mm-hmm. And then you can also have the trackability of it. Hey, did people click on this video? Did they comment on it? Did they go to my website? Did they go to the car? Did they, you know, submit a lead? All these different things that is available in the digital world, but with that message that's not just tied to a specific vehicle. Right. So I'm very excited about that. I think that it's going to be really cool to be able to connect those two things. Yes, you can still do your other stuff and get your cars out there and have your inventory in 1,000 different places, which, you know, although I believe it's better to have 1,000 eyeballs on the car, but, you know, it's a different conversation.
I'm of the opinion is there's value in all these different things. They all bring different parts, but shouldn't be doing a lot of overlap. So figure out exactly what you're trying to accomplish. And then,
yeah, for sure. So I mentioned the audience too, that I wanted to get at, because when we talk about search, I think sometimes it's a little bit, what I find anyway, when I'm having conversations, because to me, like I'm not a big believer in putting and paying people to take my customer away from my website. I want to put most of my marketing dollars driving people to my website and then preparing my website to handle the traffic, right? Make it stickier once they're there. So when I have conversations about that, it's always about, well, the audience. Like, at least I know people that are on these endemics, for instance, are there to buy a car. And when you drive people in from the outside world, I don't know if they're in to buy a car or not. So how do you guys determine the audience, the right audience, when they're doing like search on your platform? Is it based on the customer needs to provide a list and then you guys create lookalikes? Is it the system already knows that, hey, this is a car initiative, so we're going to target folks that have displayed these behavior patterns? Like, what, tell me about these selections.
Biggest thing for us is that because we can study our users' behavior with what they're doing, whether it's on just a website or through Bing or anything else, there are obviously different triggers, different behaviors that we want to serve more vehicle information, vehicle ads up to in that, say, search results versus someone who just typed in F-150. But if it's F-150 near me and what's the trim level? But now, because we're using these AI-powered solutions like Bing Chat, they're going to have more information in that query. It's going to be much more natural, where it's like, hey, I really want a four-door F-150. And allow the machine to do the better searching and better work. So we're getting better signals. But when we're actually just looking at how they're searching within Bing, yes, we use, you know, what they're literally searching for, what they have searched for, what they've clicked on before. Did the ads that we just send them actually work, or do you need to change something different? How far did they scroll? You know, that's a really big difference. Mm-hmm. You know, are they 60% down the page, or they stop at the first result? All these different parts is what my team works on, and how we're doing that, and how we're really funneling different, whether it's advertising or experiences, to that user.
Right on. Yeah, I just wanted to mention that. Like, I'm familiar with how that happens, but I want the audience to listen to it, because I think sometimes they think that you know, well, just because they're on these endemics, they're going to be more lower funnel. And, you know, like, I mean, companies like Microsoft, Google, like they're targeting the right folks.
Yeah.
You know,
like the best one, if you look at it. So on Edge, if you open up a new tab, there's these different cards and modules, whether it's weather or news or what have you. If you're showing signs and behaviors that you're in the market for a vehicle, you're now going to get an Auto's Marketplace card.
Right.
That's where all our premium dealers are going. I don't need you to come to the marketplace because now we are changing your personalized experience and showing it that way. If you now click on it, great. That's another signal for me that, yeah, we did the right thing. We're going to do more because we are taking these steps to completely just adapt to what the user is doing. It allows for a better experience. Like you said, you know, they might not be in the market. If they're not, great. A lot of the times, like when we first launched the garage, everyone all of a sudden had a Lamborghini. You know, it's not necessarily what's actually happening, but the more signals that we get, the more information. So that machine learning tool, that more data that we're feeding that beast is allowing us to be smarter, allows our tools to be smarter.
For sure, for sure. So a quick question on the development side, is there API integrations available? Because I know a lot of dealers are going in that direction, you know, so.
Yeah. So right now we have APIs available for CRM. We have it for our feed integration right now. They're between just an easy scheduler and then also FTPs. We're looking to expand right now on where we want to dedicate resources if we're going to, whether we white label our Auto's Copilot experience and allow that chat to be on different websites. But for right now, it's kind of been really great to, when a new partner comes to me and we are chatting about something we think we can do amazingly together, kind of the sky's the limit for us, which is so much fun. And I get to go back and talk to my engineers and say, hey, is this going to be a pain in the ass for you? Or is this going to change everything? Yeah, being married to an engineer, I have to start with that.
Sure.
Am I ruin your day, or can you do this for me? That would be great.
Right on.
The best part is that, like, we've just completely adapted. Like, I was having a conversation at NADA at a party last year, and all of a sudden, we now work with Rollic, and all of their RVs are on our marketplace because we went through, my team went and learned everything they needed to know about RV specs and how they needed to change our schemas based on, you know, from passenger vehicles. But if we can come up with a good reason to do it, and it's the engineering part's not the issue. So yes, we have the capability. We do have current APIs. Doesn't mean we can't have more.
Right on. Very, very cool. Liz, thank you so much for doing this. I really, really appreciate it. I want to give you a couple minutes to tell us how people can connect with you.
Yeah.
If they have any questions, how can they reach out? If there's anything that you want to like mention, you know, anything that you got going on, let us know.
So we have our Auto's Marketplace. And for those who've been around for a very long time, the fun way to actually find it is type in carpoint.com. And that will get you there. But anything within Microsoft, you kind of play with it. In order to get in touch with me, dealers at Microsoft is the easiest way. That way they don't have to remember if my last name has O's or A's in it. And there's a lot that we're doing from the ownership perspective, as well as our dealer program. And there's a lot of information out there. So anything that anyone has questions about, how we can really get in front of those users and seeing what we can do to build a better product for dealers and OEMs, that's the best part of what we're in right now. So anyone wants to work with me or figure it out, let me build you something that works better for your business.
Right on. There you have it, folks. There is one question that we ask everybody that comes on the show, and that question is, where do you see the automotive industry headed in the next 5 years, and why?
Oh, in 5 years, I think it's going to be a lot more AI, but not necessarily done the right way. Mm-hmm. And I think that we're going to be reacting to that. And I think that we're going to learn. I think it's going to be really similar to how when digital retailing came out, we all got super excited about it. But unless it was done properly, it was a lot. So I think that we're going to see kind of the downstream effects of, well, what did this do to my experience? What are we seeing here? And coupled with between inventory and everything else that's been going on and interest rates, I think it's going to be a chaotic, but I think the fun part will be more than the mess for sure. I think we're going to have a lot of fun.
Right on. There you have it, folks. Liz Calloway, thank you so much for joining us. And thank you for tuning in. That's all the time we have for today. And as usual, we'll talk later.